Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner that has a product, service, or message that you truly believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look at real-world networking and marketing tactics while leveraging LinkedIn to get what you have in front of many more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple. Super excited for today's episode. As you guys know, Thursdays are interview episodes, and I just first want to say thank you to everyone for continuing to support this podcast and all the positive feedback from all the stories that you hear from all the guests that are on this podcast. And obviously, the idea is to showcase and highlight some of the other experts that are out there that you may not know about, but obviously you will now. So obviously, today's episode is centered around book writing, ghost writing, because you guys have heard my wife and I talk about all the time that one of the best things that you can do to showcase your expertise is having a signature book behind your skill set and your talent. So we're going to talk about all that and more. So Joshua Lysak, welcome to today's episode.
Scott, glad to be here. Thank you.
So before we talk about obviously book writing, ghost writing, all that stuff within your zone of genius, and for people that are not watching this or listening, we have the same barber, so people can understand what we're both looking at here. The first question I have is, if you had to rewind the tape and press stop at a certain point in your entrepreneurial journey that you feel was that catalytic moment that set you on the path that you're currently and moving forward with, what was that moment for you?
It was a moment when I was working full time while writing, professional writing, freelance writing had been kind of my side gig. And there was a moment I'm sitting in a cubicle, a telecommunications company. You know, I'd follow the whole track of going to good school, get good grades, you'll get a good job. And that was not working out with any good whatsoever. But I still had the side hustle. But it wasn't so bad that I was going to quit this full-time job. A lot of people are dealing with this kind of conundrum now. And I was sitting in my cubicle, and there was something that my supervisor had done that caused a delay, caused a bottleneck. And the CEO, the owner of the company, came into my cubicle, and he blamed me for it directly. And he stood there for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. He said, Joshua, because you hadn't done this, this is costing me personally this many thousands of dollars per minute, which is costing me this much tens of thousands of dollars per hour, which is costing me this many hundreds of thousands of dollars every hour. And he just went on until it was in the hundreds of millions of dollars. He said, that's how much you cost me. Are you worth that much? He said, the CEO of this company. And of course, again, context is it was my supervisor who was calling the shots on that particular project. That's when I realized I was very much in the wrong line of work. And I decided, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to make writing professionally work. This was in 2012. I had been doing freelance writing on the side for about a year, year and a half at that point. Inconsistent feast or famine income before it was really a thing to turn a side hustle into your full-time gig. But then that moment I decided I don't care what it takes. I'm going to make this work. And it turns out that ghostwriting books has been that thing for me for over the last 12 plus years.
That's amazing. So obviously you were doing things on the side and realized that at a certain point, every entrepreneur realizes that they're psychologically unemployable. They really don't want to take orders from other people. They don't want to be devalued because obviously our self-worth is really important. When you transitioned into full-time entrepreneurship and really started leaning into that zone of genius with ghostwriting and everything that you've been doing for the last 12 years, what was the biggest hurdle that you had to overcome in doing what you were doing full-time without having the cushion of a full-time job and really being in that full-time feast or famine area of growing your business?
A word that's not often used with marketing, self-promotion is proximity. It's proximity, meaning getting into proximity with people who perceive the value of what it is that you offer. And so my Proximity moves were first. Well, I'll do lots and lots of networking locally, meeting business owners who might need something written for them. And I did an immense amount of networking locally, regionally, nationally, going to the coast and doing stuff in New York City and in Central and Southern California, and even internationally doing events in Canada and England. And then eventually around, and that worked inconsistently. There were some months where it was like, wow, I earned half of this in a year and I earned it in a month. And the next month would be $400, right? That sort of, this is great. I need some consistency if I'm going to have a family one day. And this is still maybe 8-9 years ago. But then I thought, what about this digital marketing thing? What about this digital marketing thing? Back when Facebook was all the rage, it was the place where when you thought about digital marketing, it was all Facebook. That was those are the days, right? And I started doing that. I started doing some social stealth selling, getting in the DMs with people in chat that I'd met in various entrepreneurial Facebook groups. One thing led to another. Getting into proximity via the internet was way easier and way more scalable than going and doing stuff locally and in person. It just made sense. Now, this sounds obvious. It wasn't obvious at the time. The proximity move that you ought to do is usually not the obvious one, whether it's online or offline or otherwise. But that's what it was for me. And then all of a sudden, I have 12 people a week I'm talking to who want me to write their book. And I can now get to choose who I work with rather than go begging and pleading.
Wow. I mean, proximity is something that people definitely have to look into. To your point, expanding into the online space, it could be overwhelming in the beginning because it's just so vast. But when you move from feast or famine to now having the choice of who I want to work with, that is a very empowering thing. Something that my wife and I always talk about is that, you know, you don't want to work with everyone. You know, nor should you have to work with everyone. You should be able to pick and choose who is a good fit and who's not a good fit. So with that in mind, what did you particularly have to experience in, you know, now having the ability to handpick? If you could look back at maybe a project that you took on from someone when they wanted their book written with your help, and you realized fairly early on, this is not a good fit. This is definitely someone that I don't want to work with. Not this person in particular, but I would say category of person. What was that experience like for you? And how did it help you refine exactly who you did want to work with?
Yes, you're right in this sense of polarity, opposites, in that the better you know who you do not want to work with, and the more you could tell that type of person, I can't stand you, I don't want you, go away forever, and do that actively in your marketing, that is in fact an attractor for the type of person that you do want. There's a chapter in my book which is about this exact experience. A woman whom I call, not her name obviously, because of the naming and shaming situation, but we call her Misty. And Misty is the sort of person who believed that she should have a book because she's the type of person who needs a book. She deserved a book. So you can already tell there might be some sense of entitlement here. This is a person who effectively wanted to write early 1990s Tony Robbins era self-help, but with way less interesting stories, more new age, let's say, ChatGPT generated almost, come up with the most Deepak Chopra thing you could possibly can and give me 10 versions of that and then stick those in a book. And then advice that's just like, it's all mindset, guys. You should just believe you can and then you can. And 300 pages of that. And that's when I realized that vacuous, let's say, influencers are not my market. Now, I did the project, and of course, our audience loved the book because I fixed it. I effectively wrote up the version of her book that she should have released had she been an expert. She wasn't. And that ultimately revealed to me, and this is many years ago that this happened, even before kids. And it revealed to me, that that's what most ghostwriters do when they work with celebrity clients. Is the celebrities give them terrible ideas and awful stories, and then the ghostwriter has to make up, well, that's terrible. We can't publish that. What if you said this instead? That makes you look way better. Well, that's not what happened, but I don't care. Okay, let's go with that. That's a little dirty secret of ghostwriting of public figures that you learn pretty early on. Most public figures' memoirs are fiction.
You know, it's interesting, you know, when you talk about what's inside the guts of a book. So I've self-published 5 books. I have another one coming out in August. I had a book writing coach for my first book, which kind of really helped me understand, because for me, I wanted to write more of a tangible book where as you turn through the pages, you're actually learning something. I didn't want something to be just a bunch of, to your point, a lot of hot air where it was just words, you know. Have a positive mindset. You're going to achieve everything. Like it's, I wanted to give people something that they can emotionally attach to, where by the end of that chapter or those pages, they would take some sort of action. And, you know, I got to give you a lot of credit, because obviously you took the foundation of whatever this person wanted to accomplish in a very generic fashion and, you know, sprinkled whatever Joshua sprinkled on it to make it what it was. And obviously, I hope that Misty gave you the credit that you deserve in making that happen. So in realizing who you don't want to work with, when we're talking about ideal clients for you and people that are true experts, and it's something that we believe, you know, we believe if you're going to be an expert. I remember I interviewed Travis Bradbury. He's one of the top voices on LinkedIn. He's got about 3 million followers. He speaks on emotional intelligence. And, you know, he wrote his first book about 15 years ago about emotional intelligence. It was called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And I asked him, I said, you know, in some of the mentors that you've had, what was the best advice they gave you in positioning yourself as an expert? And he said his first mentor said, you want to be an expert? Go write a book on the expert topic that you want to be known for. So you obviously have helped so many people write books. If you then had to start thinking about, these are the people that I really help the best, they're going to get the best results. Where is that person in their business journey as far as being an expert, where they're like, you know what, Joshua, like I could use your help. I need help getting this book out there. Who's that ideal person?
Yes. So there is an attorney that I worked with recently in our conversation at the outset. Now, there's somebody with deep expertise, but she said to me, Joshua, I'm an expert, but no one considers me the authority because I don't have a book. And it's someone who is accomplished enough to have expertise. They are an expert, meaning they themselves, the private clients they work with, who even will send them referrals in many cases. And they've grown a practice, a clinic, a business, a company, a user base, largely through word of mouth because the stuff works. They're good at it. But what they tend to not be as great at is naked self-promotion, or at least the unlocking of the full value of their expertise for the marketplace. And that's why they want to write a book, is because they understand that when you write a book, you're now the authority. You wrote the book on it. That's how it works.
So in thinking about, like, and this is what I love, I believe in ghostwriting, because there's a lot of people that, there's a lot that goes into writing a book. I mean, there's a lot. I'm in a very unique situation where my first book, because it's about how to, you know, create sales and how to market and brand yourself on LinkedIn. There's a framework to my book. And as the platform advances, I just have to go back and edit and add chapters. And I'm releasing the third volume later this year. But so I'm lucky in that sense that I can go back, edit, republish, release, that kind of thing. So starting from scratch can be pretty daunting. So there's a lot of ghostwriters out there, and there is a need for them. And I love what you're doing. But if someone was to say, you know, Joshua, what really makes you different? What makes you stand out as a ghostwriter with the pool of ghostwriters that are out there? What makes you more qualified and obviously the expert in your space?
A few years ago, had a conversation with someone who they wanted to write a series of like thought leadership white papers and articles that they wanted to publish for their website. And they wanted to ultimately repurpose these into a book, which they later would later do. They had found a freelance writer, ghostwriter. The ghostwriter interviewed them. They got back the material from this expert ghostwriter. And they revealed to me, these two founders of this company, they said it took more time to edit what the ghostwriter had sent them than just writing it themselves from scratch. And they said, this is going to work out. And so what they did is like, can you help us? Can you give us this? Can you give us a sample? Can you help us find something here? And I said, okay. So I took their material and I said, here's what you need to do. And I explained how to write one of these articles slash white papers. And I recorded myself doing it to try to like to teach them the method, because they had a team of writers that were going to hire internally, because they needed to create lots of content marketing, lots of content marketing fast. And I created this sort of this masterclass for them on how to do that, how to effectively communicate the essence of the value of their ideas quickly and efficiently, line by line, sentence by sentence. And I recorded myself writing one of these pieces. They got it back to me and they said, Joshua, you found the best way to say it. And I have since trademarked the best way to say it. There is a process, there is a system to transforming your ideas, as loose in the ether as they may be, that which is locked up in here, and unleashing it into the world in the most persuasive way it can. And it has to be done in a certain order, both the process of writing, how you write in terms of a process, and in how you structure it, and the order of things in your material, be it a blog post or be it a book. And that's the best way to say it. And I have 5,140 students who have gone through my Best Way to Say It programs. And it just so happens that my ghostwriting is the done-for-you version of the best way to say it for books. So this other business over here, the Best Way to Say It, does very well as its own enterprise, as its own IP. And it also has a book and everything else. So you could say, I am, in fact, the living case study that my clients aspire to be. And there's not any other ghostwriter who can say anything like that, I don't believe.
So for people that are listening to this podcast that have aspirations and drive to want to write a book, but may want to go down the route of using a ghostwriter, who do you, you know, from genre or I would say profession, is there a best type of person that you serve best with your skill set that you have in ghostwriting?
It's going to be somebody who's not afraid to get persuasive. I'm also a trained and certified and licensed clinical hypnotist. And the reason I do that is because that is subliminal persuasion. It's subconscious persuasion. That is, it's a bit like your most favorite powerful spice that you'll add to a food to really give it that flavor. Too much of it is way too much. A little bit of too little of it is bland. And that's how I sprinkle hypnosis into my literary works on behalf of my clients. And they can be physicians, they could be attorneys, they could be creative entrepreneurs, or even SaaS founders. But what I demand is an openness to subliminal persuasion principles employees worked into their material, and not everyone wants that.
I think that's very unique and that's very interesting. I'm glad you shared that, because you don't, most ghostwriters, it's to your point, they give you they interview you, they ask for some bodies of work that you have, and they put something together from there. But the fact that your willingness to use your skill, and for the person on the other side to be willing to be persuasive in the sense of opening up to a deeper subconscious level of maybe some information that on the surface level you wouldn't normally be able to pull, but obviously using one of those superpowers that you has enables that to happen and makes it a very, very non-bland and non-overspiced book, which I think everybody is looking for. They want just the right amount. And I agree wholeheartedly with you on that. So before we wind down and I get to my final question, if someone is interested in learning more about you and your services and the different ways that you can work with people, tell the audience a little bit about how you help and where's the best way for them to go find out how they can work with you.
Yeah. So I have more than 15 different persuasive writing courses, both from the short form to the longer form, whether it's writing persuasive, engaging hypnotic novels, or sprucing up your sales page with some applied hypnosis elements, all that, and learning about my actual services and books is at lysekghostwriting.com.
Awesome. So final question before we sign off, Joshua, what does success truly mean to you?
It means that what you planned to do happened. What you planned to do, what you intended to do, you did. Meaning that success can be a planned event as opposed to let's try a bunch of stuff and see what works.
I love it. Yeah, sometimes you can continue to throw spaghetti at the wall, but if it doesn't stick, you got to keep finding out something that does. And I agree. Success is planned. You know, you have your eye on the prize. You have something that one of you do. You got to follow through with it. So just want to thank you for your time today. I know this conversation is going to help a lot of people and definitely persuade them in a positive way that there's a book inside of them. And someone like yourself is the one that can deliver that, obviously, to the masses so it can spread their word, but also position them as the expert in the space that they're in. So thank you again for being here today.
My pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
So as mentioned, all of Joshua's information will be in the show notes and in the description of this episode. So do not hesitate to reach out to him. Wealth of knowledge, and you'll learn a lot. And honestly, if you're looking to get that ghostwriting aspect of your book handled with care, then do reach out to Joshua. So everyone, please enjoy the rest of your days. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much for checking out today's episode. If you could, please support this podcast by hopping over to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any place that you're listening to this. Leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you loved most and what you would like to hear more of. But also, if you would like to learn how to take your business to the next level, whether it's using LinkedIn or working directly with myself and Nancy in our intimate group coaching programs, you can head over to www.thetimetogrow.com or scottaron.net to learn more. Thank you again for your support, love and gratitude, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.